Merry Christmas. I have to preach from up here because unfortunately I've been sick in bed all day with a fever, and I've been dizzy and nauseous, and so I made the double mistake of accidentally taking the PM version of my cold medicine before Mass. So hopefully I don't say anything heretical. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany of the Lord, also called Three Kings Sunday, and the end of the Christmas season. So first, God bless all of you who kept your trees and lights up through tomorrow and continued to greet people with the greeting Merry Christmas. One of my pet peeves is that for weeks before Christmas, we're greeting one another Merry Christmas, which is fine. But then, once Christmas Day is over, we stop saying that. But as believers, we celebrate Christmas all the way up through the Feast of the Epiphany, which we celebrate today and tomorrow. The feast commemorates, as we heard in the Gospel, how the Magi came from the east, bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the newborn king. Now, many people, unfortunately, including priests and theologians of the last 40 years, have tried to strip the supernatural elements out of our gospel story of Christ's birth. They don't want you to believe in the angels, or the perpetual virginity of Mary before, during, and after, or the star. They'll let you keep the shepherds, and maybe the magi, and the birth. But all of the supernatural parts of the story, they want you to disbelieve, because they think that modern people are incapable of believing in miracles. But the problem with that is to throw out those elements of the story is to destroy the very story itself. Because the great miracle of our faith isn't simply that Mary stayed a virgin before, during, and after the birth of Christ, but in the incarnation that God has come in the flesh. That is the great miracle. And to believe that, it should be easy to believe all of the other parts of the story if you can believe that Jesus truly is the Son of God. Why do the Magi come with these three particular gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh? They come with gold because Jesus is a king. They come with frankincense because he is a priest. And a priest is one who offers sacrifice. And Christ will offer the sacrifice of his own life on the cross for the redemption of the world. And they bring myrrh. Myrrh was used for the burial. It is a sign at the beginning that Jesus was going towards the cross. But notice, they worship Jesus. They do him homage. They adore him. They don't let the humble abode of a manger turn them away in disbelief. Because Jesus is no mere ordinary man. He is not just a teacher or a prophet. He is God come in the flesh, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And thus he is worthy of our adoration and our full homage. Our practice of religion, brothers and sisters, must be reordered. So often we fall into a temptation as a church to turn Mass into an experience of what I get out of it. I don't want to go to Mass because I'm bored. I don't want to go to Mass because I don't get anything out of it. But brothers and sisters, we go to Mass first and foremost to worship God, to adore our Creator who has given us every blessing, starting with one of the most precious gifts we have, which is life itself. To be in the presence of Jesus is to be on holy ground. We can't forget that. He is no mere ordinary human being. He is God. And so as we come to Mass, we must relearn the art of adoration and worship of Jesus in the sacred liturgy, as the Magi teach us to come before Christ in worship. The word Bethlehem, the town of Judea in which Jesus is born and the Magi's visit, is a very interesting word because in Hebrew it means house of bread. And in Aramaic, it means house of flesh. So already with the babe in the manger, we see the foretaste that God has come to be our food, as Jesus lies in a feeding trough, to nourish us with divine life. We see in the house of bread and house of flesh the foretaste of the Eucharist, which we share in at every Mass we come to. Mass is not principally and first about what we get out of it. That's secondary. It's about what we offer to the Almighty God. Praise and adoration, thanksgiving. So often in Catholic parishes, the music and the liturgy turns in more on ourselves than on the praise of Almighty God. I've noticed that in the last 15 years of worship, that so often the songs that we sing have more to do with us than actually praising the Lord. It's unfortunate. We have to move away from a consumer mentality back into a mentality of giving adoration to the living God who has loved us with a love beyond all telling. Truly, we always do get something out of Mass. We're not only nourished on the Word of God through the Liturgy of the Word, but through the Liturgy of the Eucharist and Holy Communion. After adoring God, we're given the great grace of receiving Him into our very selves. Today's feast reminds us not to forget the other essential part of true religion, to adore God who has loved us with an infinite love. When we relearn to do so, then like the Magi, our hearts will be filled to an overjoy. Praise be Jesus Christ.